Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles podcast, powered by the Oklahoman and brought to you by Zaxby's. Cure your craving. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com. I am Scott Wright of the Oklahoman, joined by Hallie Hart, who is my partner for a brief time before your internship and other things in, and you move back on to all the other great things you're going to do in journalism up at the Ocali and beyond. So, Hallie, you joined me out at Carson Creek on Monday for OSU's media golf outing, where we get to hang out with some coaches and do some different things. You did not play golf, which was a smart decision. It was really hot, really humid, not a good day to be on the golf course, particularly at Carson Creek, where there's tons of trees, no breeze getting through there. It was a long day. It was a fun day, but a long day to be out on the golf course. But let's begin with the story that you wrote for Tuesday's paper on Charlie Dickey, the new offensive line coach. You got to visit with him. It was the first time he met with the media at all since he's been here. What were your early impressions of Charlie Dickey?
Yeah, first time you met with the media, like you said. First of all, thanks for having me on the podcast. Yeah. I'm enjoying this opportunity. But he seemed like a great guy. I mean, it's obvious to me, the big takeaway for me was that it's clear to see why Mike Gundy hired him, because I think he's a guy who shares Mike Gundy's vision for what he wants this team to be about. Obviously, during the past season, Gundy said that the team needed to work on discipline. That's what he mentioned, discipline, at Big 12 Media Days too. And that's a word that Charlie Dickey used a lot. He's focused on that. He's focused on, as he said, building mental toughness for his team. He talked about how, you know, as he watched OSU's offensive line last season, he saw a lot of things he liked. He saw a group of tough guys, and so his goal is just to come in and to elevate this group and to make it even stronger. And so I really think that, like I said, I see why Coach Gundy chose him, because I think that they have a lot in common going forward.
A guy that has a personality that seems like he's going to fit really well with Oklahoma State. I know you got to meet with Sean Gleason as well. Mm-hmm. Do you sense that these personalities, everybody's going to blend pretty well together?
Oh, yeah. I actually asked Sean Gleason what it was like working with Charlie Dickey, and he mentioned how he said their communication's great. They trust each other really well. He said if they have a little disagreement, it usually just takes about 15 minutes, and then they get it worked out. So I think it's a good sign for OSU that they have a similar vision for what they want the offense to be. And all those personalities, like you mentioned, all of them kind of meshing together. Gleason mentioned how in the coaching meetings, they just really were meshing well with, of course, Gundy and the other coaches. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what their changes are like. I don't expect any, you know, totally transformed offense next season as far as different, really totally different style or anything. But I do think that they're bringing kind of something fresh, something new to the team. And it'll be interesting to see what the offense looks like with Gleason and then Dickey in charge.
Jason McAdoo, I spoke to, the tight end / cowboy coach, cowboy back coach, and he had very much the same feelings as what you just described, in that he works really closely with Charlie Dickey, being that his guys are often lined up on the line of scrimmage right next to the tackles and things like that. So there's a lot of work that they have to do together. And McAdoo is a former O-line coach, and so he said that those two guys really think a lot similarly, and they're breaking down film or looking at things, there's a lot that goes into it that they're on the same page a lot of times, and they blend together really well. He said even during spring there were times that McAdoo would take the tackles and the tight ends and work with them on one thing while Dickey was working with the centers and the guards on another thing. So it seems like this is going to be a really seamless transition from Josh Henson to Charlie Dickey. The thing that I thought was interesting, one of the really interesting things that Charlie Dickey said in your story that was in Tuesday's Oklahoman, was that you can't have toughness without discipline. It doesn't necessarily, they almost seem counterintuitive, but he says you've got to have one to have the other. You've got to have them both to for it to both work. Kind of talk a little bit about what he was getting at with that.
Yeah, I agree. It's a striking statement because you do think of those two things as kind of different. If you're disciplined, then you might think you might not be as likely to get out there, you know, be aggressive in guys' faces or whatever it is. But I do think I get what he's saying, especially when he explained it more, that the mental toughness and the discipline do go kind of hand in hand. Of course, they have to be disciplined as far as limiting penalties. That's a big thing that he's focusing on. He, Gundy, you know, everyone. But with the little things like that, with the discipline, I think is what allows them to play tough, because they can play a smart game, be able to, you know, I know how to not have this penalty and still play aggressively, still bring the kind of physical O-line that they want. So I think if you find kind of a blend and maybe even a perfect balance of those two things, is what he's going for. And the type of discipline that he mentioned, he did say extends off the field too. He said that he's a guy who, as you mentioned, this fits into the cowboy culture thing that Gundy always talks about. He really values what the guys do off the field. So he said, you know, just making sure they're going to class on time, making sure that they're dealing with the grind of being a college student along with taking their football responsibilities really seriously. That takes discipline, and it also takes mental toughness. So that's a big part where he said they go together too, because for someone to be able to handle all those responsibilities, they've got to be self-disciplined and motivated, and then they also have to be tough to not let, you know, one mistake or a bad day break them down.
One thing that in talking to people when Charlie Dickey was hired, before we got to speak to him, in a lot of the people that I talked to, including Dalton Reisner, who was his star tackle last year that's onto the NFL now at Kansas State, was talking about the relationships that Charlie Dickey builds with his players. It really kind of sounds like some of that has already taken hold with some of the guys at Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah. And I know there's quotes from Johnny Wilson, of course, at Big 12 Media Days, too, who mentioned how he likes the perspective that Charlie Dickey's coming from, because both of them kind of have that old school football fundamentals, you know, back to basics mentality. But then, as Johnny Wilson mentioned, he still has some kind of new school ideas too. And I think one thing that the guys are really getting from it is just how much they're learning from him. I know Johnny said that, you know, he's got a notebook and he's filling it up with notes as he spends time with Charlie Dickey, just learning new techniques, new terminology for different plays and, you know, ways to attack a situation. And so I think the learning is a big thing. And then also bonding with the team, because even though he wants to challenge them and build that toughness in practice, he mentioned how he also wants to show the guys that he genuinely cares about them, whether that's going to dinner with them or just spending time meeting individually with them to really get to know them on a level that's deeper than football. And I think that's something that the guys have probably picked up on quickly, too.
On the topic of toughness, it's obviously something that Gundy wants to increase, that Charlie Dickey wants to increase. But as Dickey has gotten to know this team, as he's looked at last year's film and what he saw in person when they played at Kansas State, it wasn't necessarily something that was absent from this team, was it?
No, not at all. That was what he mentioned is, you know, even though Kansas State defeated Oklahoma State in Manhattan last year, he still was able to see in that game and in other games that he mentioned the O-line did have toughness. He said they were well coached, which of course their coach was Josh Henson through the last season. But he noticed these positive qualities that stood out to him, and I think that's part of what made him want to be the O-line coach at OSU, is because he saw potential. You know, if he didn't see anything in it, then he wouldn't want to have that job, because I don't think he'd think there'd be nothing I can do with this. It wouldn't really be the job that he'd want. But I think those sparks of greatness and flashes of potential are what made him think, I want to work with this group. I see an already tough group, and I want to make him even tougher. And so I do think it was helpful for him probably to be at Kansas State and see what Oklahoma State was doing, to kind of pinpoint, this is what I liked about it, this is something that I could help them grow, those kinds of factors.
he comes into a pretty good situation at Oklahoma State. I was talking to him about position battles going into camp. He's got to find a right guard. That's one spot that's been vacated. Ry Schneider is the guy at the top of the depth chart going into fall camp there, with a couple of young guys behind him who could potentially overtake him. But Schneider is a guy who started a game at center when Johnny Wilson was hurt, played a decent amount last year. Former walk-on from Minko, or still a walk-on from Minko, but a really tough player who they really like. And then the left tackle position, Dylan Galloway he started six games there last year, had some injury issues and was still rehabbing through spring. So we'll see what happens there between he and Bryce Bray, a redshirt freshman. But at the other three spots, he's got guys who've played a lot of games. Johnny Wilson at center, Marcus Keys at left guard, Tevin Jenkins at right tackle. It's got to be a comfortable situation for him coming into, Hallie.
Yes. Yesterday, when I talked to Charlie Dickey about guys who had stood out to him, he mentioned Tevin, Johnny, and Marcus, all as guys who he sees being leaders for this offensive line. And I think that Johnny is someone who's embraced that role, and it's kind of been put on his shoulders, of course, with him being a guy who talked at Big 12 media days and kind of someone who's leading the team. And he mentioned how he and Marcus both have really taken on that role. And so, yeah, Dickey's got to feel comfortable with those three guys having that experience and returning. But it will be interesting to see what happened with the other positions. I know Johnny Wilson had mentioned how between Bryce Bray and Dylan Galloway, they kind of switch off in practices. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes with the season. But I think something about this O-line, and kind of going back to the toughness point too, is last season when Charlie Dickey said he saw a tough team, they kind of had to be, because they had a lot of changes in the O-line last season, even in the middle of the season, just with guys getting injured, having to switch guys to different positions, all that stuff. So yeah, like Wilson mentioned, they got some outside criticism, but some of that was really factors they couldn't even control, because it was just all the switching around, who's hurt, who can actually play. So I do think it'll be interesting to see what can happen with not only Charlie Dickey as a new coach, but also if guys do stay healthy and they could have maybe some more consistency at O-line, because that's something that wasn't present all the time last season, just with people having to switch around.
All right, let's take a quick break here on the Cowboy Chronicles podcast. I am Scott Wright, and this is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We're back with the Cowboy Chronicles podcast presented by Zaxby's. Cure your cravings. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com. I am your host, Scott Wright. Excuse me, Scott Wright. That's my name. Joined by Hallie Hart. And we discussed the offensive line. Let's move on to the secondary, which is another popular topic among Cowboy fans, because they have so many guys returning back there. You've got A.J. Green being the senior of that group at cornerback, his third year as a starter. Rodarius Williams, a redshirt junior, also a third-year starter. So a really interesting situation. What kind of value do you think a guy like, in particular A.J. being a senior and a vocal leader, brings to that group?
I think AJ brings huge value to this group, and one thing that he had mentioned at Big 12 Media Days was how he wanted to be more of a vocal leader. I think they have like a leadership council group of guys, and I think AJ, he's in that group. And I talked to both Tim Duffy and Jim Knowles yesterday about kind of what AJ's bringing to the team and what his role is going to be. And they know him as an experienced guy. Of course, Knowles has just worked with him for one season, but they know that he and Rodarius both have had to go through the ups and downs of this defense. You had the low points like last season with that winning Baylor touchdown over A.J. Green, but then you also had the highlights like when A.J. was able to break up that pass in the West Virginia game and seal the victory for the Cowboys, which was the turnaround after that Baylor one. And going off that, one thing that Tim Duffy mentioned for AJ to succeed is he really just has to have a short memory as far as games. If he makes a mistake, if something slips up, he can't focus on that. But if he does something good, he's also going to move on to the next thing. And I think that's something that even if a loss or something is kind of in the back of his mind, I think that he's focused on moving on to the next thing. And so I think if he can instill that mentality in the other guys, especially the younger ones on defense, then he can really be a good leader for them.
And I think a really important thing for AJ Green is to handle the preseason attention that he's getting really mm-hmm. well. You know, he's been on a couple of preseason award watch lists. He was obviously first team All Big 12 on the media's preseason ballot. So this, I think, could be a mental challenge for him to make sure that he doesn't relax. And from the things he said, Hallie, it doesn't sound like that's an issue right now.
No, it doesn't. And I think from talking to the coaches, it sounds like they think he's in a pretty good place right now, too. They talked about how he's a guy who's not afraid to take risks in a game. He's not afraid to take chances. And he enjoys that role of having the adrenaline pumping through him and being in those high-pressure situations. So pressure is something that he's embraced. So I really think if he can keep that same mentality, even getting these preseason honors, instead of letting that fluster him, being like, okay, this is where I thrive, this is where I can continue to build that adrenaline in games and succeed, then that would be how he could use it for good. Because, I mean, it is hard. Anytime these guys get a lot of attention, whether it's his preseason honors or, of course, someone like Tylan Wallace already being watched for Biletnikoff and all that again. But anytime a guy gets that, it's got to be kind of tough to not have that always creeping into the back of your mind. But AJ could use that to his advantage, too.
And on the other side, Rodarius Williams, who I don't think there's a huge difference in talent from AJ Green to Rodarius Williams. I think they're both pretty solid. They're both veterans. Maybe has the opposite effect in that he's not getting as much attention, and maybe that motivates him even more.
Maybe so. I agree with you. I don't think, I mean, maybe AJ's made a few more big plays here and there, but I think in general, their talent level seems pretty similar. They're both guys who, like I said, they've been through it. They've had experience in this defense, and of course, through the coaching change and everything. So I think that they are, they do have similar talent, and maybe, yeah, you never know. Maybe that could kind of motivate Rodarius to show people, hey, I'm not getting this preseason attention, but I'm talented too.
And obviously his brother just went into the NFL, left LSU early to head to the NFL. So that's he's obviously got the genetics to be a big-time player. We'll see what his third year as a starter brings. As far as growing up, the safeties are the guys who have been doing the most growing up. Out of the core of four guys who will play those three positions the most, you've got three guys who were true freshmen last year in Jarek Bernard, Colby Harvell-Peel, and Tanner McAllister. And then Malcolm Rodriguez is a true junior right now, but he really didn't play anything other than special teams as a true freshman, so he's really a second year starter in that group as well. So but it sounds like everybody you talk to is really excited about what that group can do.
Yes, for sure. It's amazing to me when I think about how young those guys are, because thinking of some of the things, even if it was earlier on just on special teams, some of the things that they were able to do, it just doesn't seem like it seems like they've been Cowboys longer than they have. But I think it is exciting to see what they do. Malcolm Rodriguez, of course, stepped into a pretty big role on the team this past season. And he's got, you look at toughness on defense, he's got that toughness and that kind of mentality coming from a wrestling background. And I know guys had mentioned before how that helps him bring that aggressiveness on the football field too. And then you mentioned Colby Peel, Jarek, and Tanner McAllister. I'm that's one point of the team, one of the points that I'm most excited to see what they can do, because they definitely showed sparks of potential this past season, had some big plays as young guys. And so when you get that group together, I'm going to be interested to, first of all, talk to them and see how they feel like they've grown, and then also see what happens when the season gets started.
All right, let's take one last quick break. We'll come back and wrap things up here on the Cowboy Chronicles podcast. You can always shoot us comments or questions. Reach me online, email swright@oklahoman.com or on Twitter @ScottWrightOK. This is the Cowboy Chronicles podcast presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles podcast. I'm Scott Wright of the Oklahoman. This is the Cowboy Chronicles podcast presented by Zaxby's. Thank you for joining us. I am joined by Hallie Hart. And Hallie, I think that they would take away our podcast if we didn't discuss the quarterback situation at Oklahoma State. They would just shut us down. You're not allowed to have a podcast about Oklahoma State football that doesn't discuss the quarterback. So not a lot of talk necessarily about the two guys individually, Drew Brown and Spencer Sanders. A little bit here and there. For the most part, there does not feel like a lot of separation in this situation right now. I know a lot of people are just assuming that Spencer Sanders is going to be the guy, but either Oklahoma State is doing a really good job of bluffing their way through this, or this is really a tight quarterback competition. Your thoughts?
I think, yeah, I mean, if I look at the situation from my perspective, I would think it's a tight quarterback competition. Like you said, either that or they're just really doing a good job of making us think that. But it looks like it to me. I mean, I think Sean Gleason seemed genuine yesterday when he talked about how it's legitimately an even race, he said. And I don't know if they know for sure how it's going to go. I really would not be surprised at all if we see a two-quarterback system, at least to start with. Even if by Big 12 play, maybe one of them's kind of edged out the other, either as, you know, with talent, with leadership, anything like that. But I think at the start, I feel like even when people try to get others to differentiate them, of course they'll be like, yeah, their personalities are different. You know, like Johnny Wilson said, I tell the difference from hearing their voices when they're behind me because Drew's got that Cali accent or whatever. So, I mean, there's little things. But as far as really having differences between their skill, people say they're both good leaders. They're both talented players. They both can run. So I think we might see a two quarterback system. What do you think about that?
I think the competition definitely carries over into the Oregon State game. Maybe even McNeese State, though I don't know what you're going to learn about either one of them against McNeese State that you aren't going to learn against your own defense in practice, other than just being a live situation with people that are actually coming to hit you. So I definitely think that this quarterback competition last into September on some level. I don't know how far it'll go. You know, I don't know. With their skill sets being as similar as they are, I don't know that it's going to be the type of thing that you had with, you know, Mason Rudolph and J.W. Walsh, where you have one for certain situations and one for other situations. But I can definitely see both guys playing at Oregon State and Gundy and Gleason wanting to see what they can do on the field in the bright lights with another team that's out to take their heads off. So I think that's going to be a big part of the deciding factor in them determining who their quarterback for the rest of the year is. Now, let's wrap this up. I every guest that I have on the podcast, I ask this question during the preseason because I'm always fascinated by the answers, and I'll give you my answer afterward. But I want to know who the player on the offense that you're most excited to see, but you cannot choose the quarterbacks, you cannot choose Chuba Hubbard, you cannot choose Tylan Wallace. Other than that, who are you excited to see this season?
Okay. I don't know. We might have the same answer. I don't know.
That's all right.
Before yesterday, I wouldn't have known for sure what I was going to say for this. But after talking to the coaches at the golf event yesterday, I would say Jordan McRae. And he's a guy that I really hadn't thought much of. I mean, I knew he was transferring in from South Alabama, which was a team, of course, that OSU had played before. But I was just like, okay, this is another guy they'll have. Didn't know that much about him. But Casey Dunn talked about him yesterday, and he seemed super impressed that Jordan McRae is more than just a guy who can fill another spot. He's a guy who will actually get time to play, probably. I mean, he didn't for sure say, like, oh, he's... Because, you know, you've got other guys. You've got CJ Moore. You've got Patrick McCoffman coming back from injury. But it sounds to me like McRae not only has talent on the field, but he also has those leadership qualities that guys like Dunn and Gundy are looking for. And that's what Casey mentioned, is how he has that ability to kind of motivate the other guys, connect with the other guys. So Tylan Wallace is the receiver that everyone's watching, but I think Jordan McRae has the potential to impress as well.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good answer. And, you know, on Sunday night, if you'd asked me to make a depth chart for the top three guys at that position, they call it the X in their offense, the X receiver, the receiver opposite Tylan Wallace. I don't know if Jordan McRae would have made my top three. After visiting with guys yesterday, he might be the top guy. He might be the leader to go win that job. So the starting job, at least. I think all those guys will rotate in, particularly CJ Moore and Patrick McCoffman. But he might be the leader to be at the top of the depth chart by the time the Oregon State game rolls around. Now, to give you my answer, which is the same answer I gave to Barry Trammell last week, I'll stick with it for now. Jelani Woods is a guy that I think has an opportunity to really expand his game this year. I think that he was still learning so much last year that I think that he's really going to take a big step in his growth as a player, in his growth as a blocker, in his growth as a receiver, and become a really difficult matchup problem for defenses because he's so big and athletic. And a vital part of the blocking schemes that Oklahoma State will try to use for whether it's quarterback run game or just handing the ball to Chuba and LD Brown. So he's my guy, and I'm sticking with him for right now, but I'm becoming more and more intrigued with Jordan McRae. 6'6", 187 is what he's listed at in the media guide, so I'll be curious to see what he looks like out there on Thursday when they fire it up for the first practice. So, all right, Hallie, that wraps up this edition of the Cowboy Chronicles podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Go ahead and rate us. Comments are welcome, all of those things. Again, you can email me, swright@oklahoman.com, or on Twitter, find me at Scott Wright, okay. And we're gonna do once a week, we'll do a fan mailbag, answer your questions, so be sure to shoot those to us. We're always looking for some fan interaction to keep us going here, looking for the topics that you want to hear about. But that'll do it for now. For Hallie Hart, I am Scott Wright. This is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. Cure your cravings, stop by today or visit zaxbys.com.